Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
The WIP Afternoon Show, Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Looking forward to our 5 o'clock top 5 of 5 with Buzz. Hopefully he does better than Fran did yesterday.
It's a low bar to clear.
Very
man.
Low bar to clear.
We're the gold standard in here. I don't aim for just mediocrity.
Yeah. There you go. You got your bowl of refried
Buzz,
beans
Buzz
in there.
Take a little more, he takes a little more pride in doing the top 5 and 5.
Yeah. Fran doesn't take a lot of pride in anything, really. It doesn't seem like. Jack Fritz on his marathon paternity leave.
Well, I tell you, you're talking about a guy milking something.
Oh, seriously.
My bad.
Do we think he's at home changing diapers?
Hey now, pause.
Oh, wow. I didn't even think of that. There's a lot there. Leave that alone.
Yep.
Leave that right alone. All right. We haven't done Eagles Inside of the Year Power Rankings in 3 weeks because we haven't been here on a Wednesday.
Yep.
But, and we, well, we before we get to the Power Rankings, we did meeting with Program Director Rod Lake in our meeting before the show. We're talking about when we had award Eagles Insider of the Year.
Uh-huh.
And we had previously said after the Eagles season ends, whenever that is, we made the executive decision to extend. Now, we don't know when the Eagles season is going to end, but we are no matter when they lose, we are going to extend Eagles Insider of the Year to 1 week after the Super Bowl. Only because if the Eagles were to get bounced early, maybe there are changes, whatever, that is an opportunity for insider action, so we will leave it to then. So here we go, this week's Eagles Insider of the Year Power Rankings.
Eagles Insider of the Year Power Rankings.
Now, I have the last rankings here.
I forgot the last rankings.
Yeah, I actually don't even remember why anybody was ranked why they were. So the top five were number 5 was John Clark. I don't know why. Number 4 is Tim McManus, done a good job all year. Number 3, Jay Glazer, who had the story about BG and Dom going to Jalen Hurts' house.
Yeah.
Elliot Shore Parks at number 2, and then BG still at number 1 for Eagles Insider of the Year, saying that Jay Glazer was not telling the truth, but he only said it on Instagram.
Right.
And I do think...
And for other reasons.
Yes.
BG could have been number 1.
Well, he appeared as a chickies.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and based on how the Brandon Graham show has gone the last couple of weeks, that Brandon Graham's never going to be on Eagles Insider of the Year again. I don't think he is going to make sure of it.
Yep.
So this week's Eagles Insider of the Year Power Rankings, we do have another current Eagle on the list replacing Brandon Graham. At number 5, Jordan Mailata. Now, Jordan was honored this week as the Eagles media's favorite Eagles player. And I think that deserves something. If he is the best guy giving answers, then he's the definition of insider. He's there. I don't think he's going to get to number 1. I don't think he has that in his sights. But Jordan Mailata at number 5. At number 4, the Jacksonville Jaguars Twitter account. As the Jaguars Twitter account revealed that Kellen Moore is a candidate for their head coaching position. This is the first time we've ever had a team as Eagles Insider of the Year, but the Jaguars revealed it, so they get credit.
They're real to all of the candidates were. I've never seen a team do that in any sport.
No. Now, the Jets have been doing a thing when they interview somebody, they say publicly on their Twitter account that they interviewed it, but I have not seen a team just say who all of the candidates
are. Everyone who we asked for.
Yeah. It's great. Well, at least they get the retweets out of it rather than somebody else, right?
Yeah, I thought that was weird. But that's Jacksonville.
Yes.
I mean...
Well, they're weird.
I mean, the other candidates... if I'm like, well, I got to wait through this whole list to do interviews...
Right. Right.
Well, ironically, Doug was their first interview the last time, and they still interviewed 20 other people...
And then hired
and
Doug.
And went back to Doug.
We need to get Doug on. I'd love to get Doug on. Number 3 is a tie between Jeremy Fowler and Mike Garofalo. They both had the report that the Saints asked for permission to interview Kellen Moore. So, and just a little note to our local Eagles media.
Yes.
Could one of you get one of these? Like, Kellen Moore's in Philadelphia. He works for the Eagles. I get criticized for what I do on the air all the time. So I'm going to send out the call here. One of you guys should have this. Right? Yeah. Am I crazy?
Nah, I mean, listen.
Buzz looks uncomfortable back there.
No, that's I'm with you.
Yeah, I just think.
I agree with you.
It's just one of you. Like, you guys. All right.
It does seem like the national guys seem to break these stories.
Come on. Yeah. Like one of our, everybody's national now. Everybody's Twitter account is national, right?
Yep.
Number two for consistency all year long is one Tim McManus. And his first time, maybe ever, it's certainly in months, currently number one, Eagles Insider of the Year power rankings. Elliot Shore Park.
I hadn't heard his name. I thought he might be out of the top five.
Elliot has done a good job. Like, you, here's the thing with Elliot. He hasn't been able to break stories recently, but what he has done is be the first one to ask important questions, get important answers. At press conferences, we can always count on him to ask the question that everyone needs to know the answer to.
Yeah.
Not just us. He's done a great job. Now, we have potentially, or we definitely have, five more weeks of so he could be unseated. But right now, Elliot Shore Park's number one on Eagles Insider of the Year power rankings. We're all very proud of Elliot. We hold him to a high standard.
Yeah.
And as of now, he is number one.
Yeah, got to give him a lot of credit for being down there in the trenches. You know, we know he's a favorite of Coach Sirianni.
Coach Sirianni loves him. Could give him that Kellen Moore info every once in a while if he wants.
He doesn't love him that much.
Right.
But yes, I get your point. But also, I got to give E credit for, you know, when stuff was going on with players or what have you, Elliot's right there asking the questions. And he's asking the tough questions. He got the AJ answer.
Yes.
Right? Like, so Elliot's down there asking the tough questions.
It can be intimidating to ask those tough questions.
Yeah.
Also, I think sometimes the other media judge Elliot or somebody who asked the question that they perceive as just sort of like dumb stuff that only the public cares about.
Mm-hmm.
Newsflash. Your job is to serve the public. So if the public wants the answer to something, that makes it important for you to ask. And Elliot never holds himself above the fray in that way.
Yeah.
He is right in the center of the fray.
He's pretty curious a lot, but
he is.
Once we get that out of
him. Well, he's just curious.
Yes.
Just curious. I don't know if you've heard. So Elliot hosts Brandon Graham's show with me now.
Mm-hmm.
Every time Elliot says, "I'm just curious," I look him dead
look
in his
right
eye.
At him, yeah.
And now Brandon laughs at him because he told BG that he does it too.
Right.
So we both laugh at him now.
Just curious.
Yeah, I'm just curious.
I'm just curious.
Before we'll take one call, and then we're going to give you this Freddie Mitchell audio
about
something. There's private parts involved. Anyway, that is coming up after CJ. CJ in Texas, you're on WIP. What's up, CJ?
Yo.
What up?
What up, CJ?
45 and live. How you guys doing today? How you doing this year?
Doing good, bro. It's been a minute. When the last time you called us?
Hey, it's been a minute.
Yeah.
Hey, man, I've been running around my kid. This is 40 years over, so I've been running around my kid with sports. So, hey, they did good in the playoffs, so, hey, couldn't get on all the time.
I feel you on that. I feel you.
CJ, are you from here and you moved to Texas? What's your...
Nah, I'm from Arkansas, man. I'm from Arkansas, and how I became an Eagles fan is... Everybody in Arkansas tend to ride with the Cowboys. My dad was not a big football fan, and the first game I ever watched was a Cowboys-Eagles game. And I saw, as a little kid, I looked on the screen, and the first thing I saw was Randall Cunningham breaking out.
Oh,
so
there you
for
go.
A little black kid in Arkansas,
yep.
You seen a black quarterback doing that, hey, had me at day one. So my Eagles fandom, I know this. I didn't went through hell when Jack was telling me he don't think there's no real Eagles fans outside.
Yeah.
I told him, like, hey, you know what I'm saying? Like, hey, it's easy to be inside the fray and be neck and neck with the people that's ready
right.
to fight.
Yes.
It's different when you're fighting on your own and you live in Texas and everybody else is Cowboy fans. So, I took all my stripes. When y'all was mad, when Cowboys are winning, guess what? I was in Cowboy country wearing Eagles gear, getting ridiculed. So we got two totally different types of fans.
I've got my Randall hat on. The Mitchell and Ness re-released the He's Back scrambling hat. Mm-hmm. That you remember, I don't know if you remember that, when Randall got hurt, first he had a hat that said, I'll be back scrambling, and then there was the He's Back scrambling. So he...
I remember.
Yes, yeah. So CJ, Hurts, what you got?
So it's funny to me because I heard one of the things they've started to do is say that you start asking them the question, well, where do you rank Hurts?
Yes.
And some of the people will say, you had one guy said five, other guys said a bottom of the team. But then at the same time, saying stuff like, well, you can't compare him to these guys who've been 7 years, the guys who won. He's like, why not? Y'all do.
Right.
And so when we say, I'm not against Hurts, but I'm just realistic on what I see. And after hearing Ike over the years, I started to be like, you know what? Why am I beating myself up with expecting Jalen to do something totally different at the quarterback position from what he is? He can do things, but at the same time, we're going to run the ball. He's going to hold on to the ball. These things are going to happen. So it's crazy when I hear fans talk about like, oh, well, no, Jalen is this guy. You put him in the top of the crest of quarterbacks, but then you get mad when people hold him to that standard. It's like, it's crazy. If you got a great offensive line, great running game, two great receivers, some would say a great tight end, why does it look so bad when it's time for you to throw the ball? Why does it not produce more than 200-some yards worth of passing? Even with all the rushing we're doing, it's like the run, the play, you know, so the play action should be there all the time. So it's like, why does it look so bad? But also, Spike, I'm going to throw you on the bus with this one, too. Because
okay.
If you're saying you're rating Jalen, like you're going to be on him based on what's going to happen in the playoffs, what about Nick? Because he's been right there with Jalen. To me,
that's a good point.
They're tied at the ankles. They're neck and neck.
It's a good point, and I think the question will be if they fail in the playoffs. And when I say fail, I know we all have different expectations of what success is. If they get to the NFC Championship game, I don't think anybody's saying anybody failed, right?
Right.
But if they don't get to the NFC,
they're going
to
say they failed.
Well, I think
they're going to say they failed.
Right, but I don't think the Eagles organization will treat that as this guy's got to go or that guy's got to go. I think what I'm saying is to your point.
The reason why I'm going to say it's a failure. Look at San Francisco.
No. I agree from that. But CJ, I agree from that standpoint. Just let me finish my point. I think if they don't get there, if it's a true failure, they lose to Green Bay, they lose to Tampa, they lose at home to Minnesota, one of those games, that they don't get past the divisional round, the organization is going to have to look and say, why didn't we? And they could come to the conclusion that both Nick and Jalen aren't good enough. They could come to the conclusion that Jalen isn't good enough, and that has prevented Nick from winning. Or they could come to the conclusion that it is Nick's fault and not Jalen's fault, right? I think based on what he is able to control at this point, that Nick has done a good job. Now, if he gets ousted in the first round, that is tough. I would look to see how he got ousted. The same thing with Jalen. If Jalen has a great game on Sunday and the defense craps the bed and it is what it is, like, I don't know. But I think the organization will look at both of them the way that you're saying that they should. So I do think Nick has had an incredible amount of talent and definitely should win. The difference is, I'm not going to be able to look at the game and say, it's going to be very hard for me to look at the game and say Nick did a good job or Nick did a bad job. Do you know what I mean? Unless he does a bad job. A head coach like him. What's that?
I think it is that thing where it's like, as much as you can say, well, hey, Jalen's the weak portion of this team because everything else is solidified, it's also the thing where people look and say, okay, like right now, we're talking about our OC finna get ready to leave, and then possibly Jalen having another OC, right?
Right.
We're supposed to have a head coach that's an offensive guy. So it's like year after year, if this offense looks great and we're always going to be having hiccups because we got a new OC and Jalen has to learn all this thing again, it's like, why? When you have an offensive guy as a head coach. Like,
I think that's fair, but they've also decided that he's not the offensive guy here. That's not his job here anymore. I suppose that's a help. Look, I think he will be held accountable. I think the very The different part is it's a lot easier to judge a head coach with a lot of information, judge the entire season than a game. If he's not game planning the offense, if he's not game planning the defense, if they as long as they don't show up flat, or he doesn't make some ridiculous moronic decision, or to get in a fight with a fan in the stands, it's all I'm not saying he's not accountable for it. I'm saying it's very hard for me to say Nick didn't do a good job yesterday on Monday if they lose. Do you see what I'm saying?
I get what you're saying.
CJ.
And so, Ike.
Yes, sir.
I know you got the people saying, like, hey, for the hairdo, you took my guy. You took Snoop.
Okay.
You know
bad,
what I'm saying? I wanted to bring somebody. So, because it is only so few people that are going to get named that kind of got the same type of hair we got. So, I'm going to say this one, because there's one I'm not going to name that you guys will probably catch on to. He has great hair that we hate the team. He used to be the head coach. I'm not going to say that guy because it just don't have it in me. But I'm going to say Jalen Rose. Because forever he held on to his hairline, and that hairline was perfect, and it was not frayed on. So it's like, that's big. And the other one is Halle Berry, because, hey, in the 90s when she was in the
movie, that short hair, man.
Yeah. Nothing like it, baby.
You sure, man,
that's how
Rose?
My wife got me. My wife used to try the little Halle Berry look. That's how she got me at school, man. That's what I saw. I saw that.
Hey,
I saw that. I saw that look.
When they had that little bob going.
Yeah. That's how Renee got me. Yeah.
The only thing that's bad about that. The only thing that's bad about that is when they try to grow it back, and it's like, ooh, wait, what's going on?
Oh, my God.
Well, if it is for Elvis, I almost went with synthetic hair because, you know, he copied everything that was black back in the day.
He did.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So, but.
Well, he did.
Hey,
he did grow up.
Year. I love listening to y'all.
All right, thank you, CJ.
All right, CJ.
The thing about Elvis grew up in, like, around black people. I mean, that, it wasn't. The Elvis thing has been beaten to death. I think there's a difference between stealing something and being influenced by it. To me, what I read about Elvis, he didn't read about it in a book and say he was in that culture.
He was in the culture.
Yeah, it was part of what he was. Now, are we sure Jalen Rose was not painting his
hairline? Yeah, I don't know about that, CJ. The book is still out.
Looked very boozer to me.
He might be the worst with the whole painting on the.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jalen Rose, Steve Harvey before he had to let it go.
Yeah.
Right? He had the man unit on top of his head.
LeBron.
LeBron finally had to let it go, or has he let it go?
No, I think he's still painting.
Is he still painting?
Yeah.
Well, remember, he used to do the headband to try to hide the forehead, I mean, the hairline.
So before we go, we have to play this. Speaking
of
hair.
Makes me think of somebody else I could have threw in there.
Well, you can do a drop at the
Stephen
end.
A.
Oh, yes. Stephen A's painting it? Yeah.
Well, I don't know if he's painting. I just know it's starting to disappear.
Oh, yeah. It's going back further and further. He's got a six head at this point. He's past five. Yeah.
Yes.
So Freddie Mitchell was on the WIP Morning Show today.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
Fred X.
Mm-hmm.
And this little nugget happened, which I don't think anybody expected. Go ahead, Buzz.
If you wasn't having a good day, or if you needed to pick up or whatever else, You would go to two players. You would go to Richie, and then you would go to Sean Landetta, you know. And them guys were just, you know, just someone
Sean Landetta. Me and Sean sitting in the sauna. Me and Sean Landetta.
Classic
pair.
You know?
Landetta shaving his in the sauna, you know.
Wow, that's a lot.
Maybe rein it in a bit with that, Freddie. That did not make the air, just so everyone knows.
So
why not? Now, come on, that's
done. So,
the best part is him asking why not.
Yes.
The end.
So
like, why'd you dump that?
Sean Landetta grooming himself in the sauna.
Yeah.
That is bold.
That's one way to put it.
Yeah.
I call it nasty, but that's
also,
just me.
Also nasty. I mean, look, there's nothing wrong with grooming, but grooming with your teammates, that part in the sauna.
Yeah. Well let me just say this.
Yeah.
Freddie didn't exaggerate.
It was happening.
Yes, it happened, and, you know, we played, Sean played, maybe 4 or 5 years he was here? Because then he left and he came back, I believe.
Buzz, if I text you Sean Landetta's number, will you see if he'll come on?
I don't know. Would he admit this?
It was not
uncommon to walk in the bathroom. And there's Sean. Yeah.
See Sean grooming.
Yeah. And fellas would be like, yeah, he's in there again. He's at it again.
That's a lot of grooming.
It's unbelievable, man.
Sean Ladetta wants to look like a little kid.
So now, I already told one story I regretted telling today.
But,
so with Sean, the greatest thing about Sean is he had the best stories. That's why Richie is like, yeah, sitting in the sauna. Because you could sit in there and Sean would be telling you stories from the 80s when he played with the Giants, LT and all that.
So
Landetta goes back.
He does. Man,
hell, Landetta goes back to playing for the Philadelphia Stars.
He did.
Yeah, and the
he was a single USFL bar punter,
yeah,
punter,
I
think. Yeah.
So he would have some of the best LT stories and stuff that happened when he was with the Giants and crazy parties he attended during that time. And you would be, you'd just be sitting there listening to him, man. Because he's some guys have that ability to tell a great story. They know how to give you the right details and all that type of stuff. Sean was a great storyteller.
Great
man.
Storyteller.
Yeah.
And well-groomed.
Yeah.
Well-groomed
storyteller. Made sure he was groomed.
All right. So we're going to see if we can get confirmed here. Buzz is going to give the top five most groomed people at Sports Radio WIP. And it's top five of five, right?
I did try we're not sponsored. Are we endorsing Manscaped?
Well, we're not.
Not yet.
No. Well, I mean, anybody at the station?
I don't know.
Well, okay. Well, I didn't want to say.
That might be Jonathan's next read.
You're not going to say anything bad about them, are you?
Well, I might.
I wouldn't do it, then.
Okay, then. Yeah. No, I ain't doing it.
I remember Joe doing the commercials for the lawnmower.
And that's when, I'm just saying, that was a bad product.
Oh, it didn't.
It did not work.
It did not work for you.
It was a one-time thing. And
it wouldn't get the Landetta stamp of approval.
No, I'm just saying. Everybody's hair doesn't grow the same.
Oh.
So.
Maybe for you?
Yes, that was not a good experience for me.
Not endorsed by the delegation.
Oh, man.
Please get us to break.
Okay. Top 5 of 5 is next. It's a WIP afternoon show with Ike Swag and Fritz. Man, you've revealed a lot today.
I know, man. I don't know what the hell's going on today, man. Put something in the water or something.